All right, let's stand. Let's read one scripture and get to reading our text this morning and start a little Bible study. I want to walk you through something this morning. If you haven't ever had an enemy, you haven't either been living long enough or you're just oblivious to it, because the Bible says the righteous will always have enemies. That's what it says. They'll always have enemies because they're going to be persecuted. Even Isaac was persecuted when he was but an infant. It starts out early, the persecution. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families. Now watch what he set them with, a Bible and put them on, he set them with swords and spears and bows. Sounds like Family Feud to me. I want to talk about fight for the family. Fight for your family. Could we pray? Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity that we have together on this little old speck of ground that's in Carlos, Louisiana, just a dot on the earth. But Lord, you hear every prayer. You know every tear, everything, every emotion that anybody goes through, you already know about it. We're thankful that you're an all-knowing God and an all-seeing eye in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Pardon me as I kind of read a little bit more than I normally do this morning, because the only way to properly bring this to you is to read it in a chronological event. And so I want to tell you that this story of rebuilding the wall with Nehemiah, it's been preached many, many times, but I kind of extracted. I read this last night a time or two, and I extracted a sequence in which an enemy attacks you. And you know, if you're going to win a battle, you do have to study the enemy, right? I mean, they play football and all that. They don't just say, hey, we're going to play Dallas next week. Let's just go play them, you know. No, they're watching films. They're studying the enemy. And you need to know the enemy is a roaring lion and go about seeking whom he may devour. I like to know where he's at, because I don't want to go where he's at. I'm not interested in fighting, but Lord, if I have to fight, I'll fight. I'll come out. I may not be big, but I'll swing. If I have to fight, I'll fight. And this story is about rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. It's a story of a man that was determined. He was a determined builder. Why was he determined? Because God stirred his spirit up. Once God stirs you up, brother, he don't leave you alone. He just keeps stirring you. And he stirs you up so that you will keep finding a way to keep building, to keep at it. I like to pastor builders. I do. Paul talked about, he said, I'm a wise master builder. I've laid a foundation which nobody else can lay other than Jesus Christ. Be careful how you build thereupon. So you and I this morning are builders. You're builders. You don't stay on a slab and say, oh, I got a great foundation. Praise the Lord. Y'all like my foundation. No, you've got to build something, erect something, have a fortress, have something to protect you, have a family. And all of these things comes because you build it. And buildings aren't erected in a day. They're planned, as we've studied recently, that when you go to build something, whether it be a tower or whatever, you have to plan before you start, lest you get halfway through and quit. And so we see Nehemiah is a man that is determined, and God has stirred up the spirit of Ezra and Nehemiah and some of those during that time, because they're going to be attacked by an enemy. If you're not already determined when you start, you won't last. But if you've got a made up mind before you start, when the enemy comes along and says, I was expecting you to be here, because I'm telling you, the enemy wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy, right? That's what he's here for. So I've got about five things that I want to walk you through that the enemy does. It's classic things that I've noticed when I read this. I'm like, my God, this is classic. And so they've started rebuilding a wall that's been torn down. And so we see the first thing that the enemy likes to do, number one, mock. They mock you. The first thing the enemy tries to do to discourage you is make fun of you and ridicule you. Watch Nehemiah 4:1. But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, or started to build the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked, number one, mocked the Jews. Anybody ever been mocked before? I've been mocked many times. And a lot of the mocking goes on behind your back, but after a while, it'll be to your face. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Syria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Are you kidding me? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Are they going to go back to the burnt offerings and the sacrifice? They're so far away from that in a temple and all this stuff. Will they try an end in a day? Are they crazy? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? Just look at that pile of rubbish. Are they crazy? There's no bulldozers. There's no caterpillars around here. They're going to have to do this by hand. Are they crazy? And these words of the enemy will live, always live long enough to get back to you. See, the words of the enemy will always live long enough to get back to you. Because that's design, by design. It finally gets back to you. What did he say about me? And it gets your spirit stirred up. See, the Lord stirred your spirit up to build. But they're going to stir your spirit up to get back at them and distract you from building. Oh, I'm going to talk to you this morning. And so we find the enemy always says something. He always leaves somebody. Just talk to Job. Always leaves one. I and I alone escaped. And all the sheep are gone. I alone escaped. And all the oxen are gone. I alone escaped. And all your kids are gone. There's always somebody going to bear the news to your face. Those words of the enemy always live long enough to come back and haunt you and taunt you. And the enemy always questions and insults your ability. Who do you think you are? Look at you. Are you crazy? Look at the rubbish. You'll never, not in your lifetime, ever rebuild this. Verse 3. Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, even if they build it, if a fox go up, you know how lightly a fox walks? It's like a cat. If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. It won't matter if you guys finish. It'll be so weak that it won't last. But then Nehemiah had a prayer. I have Old Testament prayers and I have New Testament prayers. See, sometimes I pray Old Testament, sometimes I pray New Testament. This was the Old Testament. Now, Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Nehemiah's going to do that. Let's read his prayer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Okay, pray for those that despitefully use you. And turn their reproach upon their own head, God, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Make them feel like a rabbit with a coyote chasing them. Turn it back on them, Lord, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Lord, it's not against me. You're the one that stirred me up to do this. They're not just making fun of me. They're making fun of you. So why don't you? See, that's that Old Testament prayer. David prayed like this. He said, now, this is strong. He said, I shall wash my feet in the blood of my enemies. Boy, that doesn't sound like the New Testament prayer, does it? Now, let's be real. Sometimes you have Old Testament prayers and sometimes you have New Testament. And so what he's trying to do is make them fearful so that they will quit. Anytime you can make your enemy fearful, fear paralyzes you, right? Fear freezes you. It was like Gideon when he said, all you that are fearful and afraid, you got 30,000 people, all you that are fearful and afraid, go home. 22,000 left. 22,000 out of 30 said, I'm a little scared, I'm going home. Well, go home, because we can do it with 300. We just need people that have a mind to build. We need people that have a mind to finish. We need people that says, no matter what, I'm sticking this thing out. So built we the wall, verse 6. You see, they had gone too far. You made God angry. You didn't just make me, you made God angry. And when you make God angry, everybody say this with me, you've gone too far. You've gone too far. Yeah, you've gone too far this time. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half. Say halfway finished. Okay, we're halfway. It was there to the half. Therefore, for the people had a mind to work. It seemed like about the time you get halfway through, we got the wall. Oh, it's looking good. We're coming along. The devil shows up. Mocking them obviously did not stop them. So I'm giving you a sequence of what the enemy does. Mocking, number one. And then number two, if the mocking doesn't work, I'll distract you. Distraction. The enemy wants you to lose traction. If you've ever been stuck in the woods before, Brother Kevin, you ever been stuck? You're just spinning your wheels, honey. Burning gas and the odometer's going over like you're moving. You can sit there and act like you're driving all. You ain't going nowhere. You're not going anywhere. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. Feel like you're going somewhere and I'm behind the wheel. I got the gas pedal. My odometer said, boy, I'm making good time now. And you're not going anywhere. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to be halfway through 10 years from now and 15 years from now and 20 years from now. He wants you to die halfway through and never finish. So we'll just distract them because that's what the enemy wants to do. If the mocking doesn't work, we'll make you lose traction. But it came to pass in verse 7 that when Sanballat the Tobiah and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Let me tell you, until you stop up the leaks, I don't care how big a bucket you got or how small a bucket you got. If your bucket's got a hole in it, it won't matter. You won't hold it. And too many people, you can fill them up with courage today and they're discouraged next week. Fill them up with more courage and they're discouraged. Why? Their bucket has a hole in it. And until you fix the hole in your bucket, you're going to stay discouraged. Oh, I got it this time. Drip, 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 drip. No, you're empty again by next week. Fix the leak. Stop the breaches. And so now we got the breaches closed up. See, we're halfway through, but now we're filling in the cracks. You know, even Noah had to daub it within and daub it without. You have to fill in the cracks on the inside and the outside because you don't want the inside going out and you don't want the outside going in. All right, let's go forward. Verse 8. And conspired. Everyone say a conspiracy. Conspiracy. Yeah. Yeah, it's a conspiracy. And conspired all of them together to come and fight. See, your enemies will find your other enemy. The Bible says that Herod and Pilate were at odds until they went to crucify Jesus, and then they became friends because they had a common cause in Jesus. So all your enemies will find your other enemies, and they'll get together, and they'll conspire. And fight against Jerusalem to do what? Hinder it. We're going to distract you. We're going to make you hear about how we're going to come against you and make you so fearful and so afraid that you'll leave off to build like they did in the Tower of Babel. So mockery turns into conspiracy. Oh, but look at verse 9. Nevertheless. I like that word. How about you? Never. I'm not going to settle for less. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. This looks so good. We made our prayer unto God and set a watch, 3-day fast, and against them day and night because of them. You pray, I watch. You watch, I pray. You pray, I will watch. You pray. Oh, you pray. I'm sleeping. I'm tired. And they wore themselves out praying and watching. Praying and watching is good. I'm not against praying and watching. But you got to build too. Faith without works is what? Dead and abides alone. You don't go anywhere without works. And Judah said, now watch this, the praise guy, Brother Praise said, I hate to tell you, Nehemiah, but the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. Lord, there is so much rubbish. Well, they knew that when they started. They saw it when they started. But the enemy's got a way of getting you to focus not on the finish, but on what's in front of you. The Bible says that he endured the cross for the joy that was on the other side. He was not focused at the cross. He was focused on the joy on the other side. So the strength of all these, you pray, watch, you pray. I can't go no more. So that we are not able. Look, Judah, Mr. Praise says, we're not able to build the wall. Uh-oh, it's breaking down. What's breaking down? Not the wall, them. Because if you break down, if you have a breakdown, it affects everybody. So much rubbish was stacked up there. I mean, look at this pile. Let me ask you, where did the rubbish come from? Their forefathers. Their forefathers had built the wall, did not protect it. Even in Saul's reign, they lost the city of Jerusalem to the Jebusites. And the wall was tore down. Their forefathers left them rubble.
Left them rubble. You know, I'm not sure we can go. Nehemiah, I'm not sure we can go.
It starts working on your mind. And if the devil can work on your mind, he can work on your job, he can work in your church, he can work in your marriage, he can work in anything if he can work on your mind.
So when does the enemy want to attack you? The answer is when you're tired and you're weary and you're ready to give up anyway.
All it takes at that time is somebody to come by you and say, look, we can't do this. You say, yeah, I don't think so either. You just need somebody to agree with you. Where two or three agree on any one thing, it can be the wrong thing. But they agree on one thing, that's what's going to happen. And so this distraction now will go to a disturbance. Let me tell you something. If you're mentally disturbed, I don't know how good you are with a hammer and a skill saw. If you're mentally disturbed, it's not like being mentally distracted. There is a difference between distraction and disturbance. Lord, when you're disturbed, you can't even do it right anymore. You distract me, I'll give you 30 minutes, but I'm back at here 8 hours. But when you disturb me, that 8 hours isn't any good because I'm disturbed. So now we're going to go to number three, the disturbance. Unlike distraction, which catches your attention every once in a while, this disturbance is ever with you. It begins to interfere and interrupt your agenda and what you had plans for in your life and with your family and so forth. It throws you into chaos and disorder. Disturbance. It makes you rethink everything. You ever rethought everything? You ever come to the point you didn't just rethink one or two things, you rethought everything. And you know, it's not worth it, Nehemiah. We're halfway through, and I appreciate that. We've done good work, you know, but I just don't think we can go on any further. And so Nehemiah is like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? They want to quit. You need to put that do not disturb sign. You ever gone to the hospital, and it says, do not disturb? Put you a post-it note right there. Do not disturb. I'm busy. I'm about the king's business. And it takes haste. That's what David said. You see, you got to do it quick. Because if you don't do it quick, what'll happen? The devil will stop you.
Okay. So now we got this disturbance thing going on. And they're wanting to quit, Nehemiah. What? How can I get them involved again? Verse 11. And our will said...
Verse 11, and our adversary said,
my will and my adversary now, I'm confused. They shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. They start working behind your back to hinder you, and you don't know what they're doing right now.
They're working behind your back, trying to figure out a way how to disturb and interrupt you. And they're going to catch you when you least expect it.
And so Nehemiah's like, how am I going to get them to work?
Let me ask you the question. What are you willing to fight for until death? Anybody want to help me? How many of you fight for me until death? Huh? Yeah. See, the Bible's smart. It says something about lay down your life for your friend. Christ laid down his life for his enemies. But ain't none of you going to fight for me to death. Brother Baggett needs a heart transplant. I'll give him mine. No, that ain't going to happen. Not going to happen.
I'm not going to pray that way. That'd be foolish. But what will you fight for death? Who would you give your kidney to? Huh? Your family. Your kids. That little girl you got, you'd give up everything you got. I know you would. To save her life. You'll give your life to save hers. So Nehemiah's like, that's it. That's it. That's it. I'll put the Johnsons over here and give them a sword. I'll put the Embodens over here, give them a sword. I'll put the Manso clan over here and I'll give them 3 or 4 swords. And I'll put them over here and give them some knives. And I'm going to get Sister Gibson and give her a spear. She's got 3 kids. Give her 3 spears. Because there's one thing she'll fight for, her family. Nehemiah said, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. So watch what he does. He's so smart. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, they said unto me us 10 times. They just kept coming. For all the places which we shall return unto us, they will be upon us. Meaning no matter which way we go, we're going to be in trouble. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with swords and spears and with bows, because I know they'll fight for their family. Woo! Hallelujah! They'll fight to death to defend their family. That way we can go on with the work. Hallelujah! And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. It's time, my brothers and sisters, if you don't have any reason to fight at all, you need to fight for your kids. You need to fight for your loved ones. You need to fight for your house. Fight for your territory. Fight for those you care about. So I can't do it. Live for God. Fight for your kids. Ooh, I'm going a little bit deeper. We're not quite through with this. Fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your brethren, fight for your wives, fight for your houses. He knew you would fight for one thing, you would fight for your family. Why? My family's depending on me. It's time, my brothers and sisters, for you to say, along with Joshua, as for me and my house, brother, we're going to serve the Lord. Y'all can do what you want to, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Who's on the Lord's side? Moses said. He didn't say, raise your hand. He said, let them come unto me. Let them cross the line. It's time to cross the line. If you're on my side, Moses said, come unto me. And the Levites went, shoo. Woo. My. Your children. Can I talk to you, parents? Your children deserve better than this. Don't give them more rubble. To go with the rubble your parents gave you. Don't give them more junk to go with the junk your parents gave you. And add to their problems. Clean it up. Rebuild the wall. Let them start over new. Maybe you can't, but let them have a fresh break. Am I helping anybody this morning? And if you just keep building, and you keep building, then I'm going to tell you, then after a while, the enemy's not through. Number 4 is compromise. Number 4, okay, he's going to mock you, he's going to distract you, and then he's going to disturb you, and you keep on building. Hey, I'm fighting for my family, my son, my daughter deserves better than you come at me. I don't care if it takes me all of my life, I want to rebuild this wall. But then I keep rebuilding. So they're going, hey, he means it this time. You know, that joker, he ain't playing games. He got swords, and I mean, little Johnny's got a sword. He stabbed me. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of the enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there were no breaches left therein, parentheses, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates.
The only thing left to do is close them out. The weakest part of a fortress is the gates. Right? They get used to, they got these logs and they ran the wall, they ran the gate. But if you don't have them up, honey, they can go in and out just like they want to. So he said, we were almost through. We just hadn't hung up our gates yet. Boy, it's going to be pretty gate. Go put another coat of stain on them gates. Let that dry. Brother, you better get the gates up. You better get the gates up, because here they come and they want to compromise. And the only option they have that you have left is close them out. But they say, well, before they put up the door, before they close us out, let's compromise. Chapter 6, verse 2. And Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let's have a meeting. Let us meet together. See, we're going to kill them. What didn't work? Let's meet together in some one of the villages of the plain of Ono. Oh, no. But they thought to do me mischief. I know your games. They thought to do me. Let's have a meeting before you close the door on us. But he said, it's mischief. Verse 3, and I sent messages unto them saying, I am doing a great work. I'm happy. I'm satisfied with what I'm doing. Why do I want to meet with you? So that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease when we're this far along whilst I leave it and come down to you? I got nothing to gain with you. And they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Let's have a meeting. No. Let's have a meeting. No. Let's have a meeting. No. Let's have a meeting. I said no. You're wanting to do me harm. So then this goes, when the compromise don't work, you ready for number 5? Manipulation. Going to manipulate it. Going to manipulate. And what we're going to do is use God in it. We're going to put God in it. Now, all of a sudden, we're real spiritual. All of a sudden, your enemy gets spiritual. All of a sudden, I got a word from the Lord. Trying to kill me last week. And now you got a word from the Lord. Then sent, this is verse 5, Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen. Now, watch this. And Geshem, I don't know who Geshem is. Geshem saith it. There's a lot of Geshems around town. That thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall. Now we know why you're up to this. That thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. See, you're going to, wait. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. What he's saying is, if you go through with it, what you're going to say, now I know why he built that wall. See, we're going to lie on you. See, that's the next thing. In the manipulation always goes lies. You manipulate people with lies. And we're going to tell it in the town that you built this so you could say there's a king in Judah. And you're going to hurt the king that's in Jerusalem. And you're really going to have a lot of trouble on your hand, Nehemiah. You might want to just consider stopping this. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. You made this up to trick me. You're trying to manipulate me. And then, I don't have time to read 8 through 12. They even said, look, we'll get a prophet. We have a prophet. It was actually a prophetess. We have a prophetess, and we'd like for you to meet her in the temple. He said, no. 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 You're going to act like you got a word from the Lord. No. This came out of your own heart. Verse 12. And lo, I perceive that God hath not sent him, but he pronounce this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat hath hired him. You put him up to say that. It's amazing how your enemies get religious. You ever seen some of your enemies, oh, bless y'all. Bless.
Oh, I'm blessed. Y'all be blessed. Verse 13, I'm almost done. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and what? See, if the enemy can get you to sin, then you have rebelled against God and the work will stop. That I should be afraid and do sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah, another one of them prayers, and Sanballat according to these their words, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Lord, return unto them their own sword. So the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. Are you going to finish your wall, my brothers and sisters? Or let your kids deal with your wall? And your kids' kids deal with your wall? So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. 52 days to revival. I preached that to y'all one time. 52 days till we're revived. Hallelujah. The wall was finished because someone had a mind to build and said, I'm not leaving this for my kids to deal with. In my business all the time, I have to deal with wills and things like that all the time. I cannot tell you, I see both good and bad. I see moms and dads come in, and nearly always when they come in with this attitude, they'll come in and say, look, we want to see about getting our will ready. We want to see about getting this in place. We want to see how to transfer everything we have and whatever it is to our kids as easy as possible, because I don't want to happen to them what happened to me. I don't even speak to my brother and my sisters anymore because of what my parents left me to deal with. So I want to put everything in order for them. Whoa, I like that. And then they have others come in and say, well, they fight over it. And that's what they'll do. That's what they'll do. They'll fight over it. And you leave them your rubble to deal with. Brothers and sisters, moms and dads, ladies and gentlemen, don't leave anybody any rubble to deal with. Clean your act up. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we come before you this morning. I'm thankful because you're an outspoken God. You're a God that yet you're in secret, but you reward openly. Lord, there's no mystery to what your word is saying. You have revealed, you said, the mysteries unto us. And Lord, I'm thankful for the revelation, Lord, that you give us. Now, Lord, let us not be just hearers of this word, but doers in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take that quick break, and we'll come back about 10:30 for morning worship.